Today's verse is Psalms chapter 119, verse 165. This is page 896 of the Old Testament. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165. Allow me to read the words. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Amen. Today's message tells us what blessings those who love the law of the Lord receive. This blessing is to enjoy great peace and to have nothing that can make one stumble. How happy would it be to live in this world without any worries and any troubles and live with a peace of mind? How many people do we see that live without difficulties these days? And we all say that living a life is too hard and difficult. There are people who wish to live just a single day without any troubles. It is my hope that today such people can find the answers through today's message. There was a woman that is described in the Old Testament. Her husband decided to live as a man of God and received training and led a holy life, but then died early. He left behind two children. So this woman had to raise two children without her husband, and on top of this, her husband left behind debts. When her husband died, the man who had lent her husband the money came to her and asked her to pay it back. However, the woman had no money to pay back the loan. So the creditor tried to take the two children instead and make them as slaves. How devastating and painful must it have been for this woman? Just like this woman who lost her husband and was about to lose her two children as well, there are many people who live in this world today who are struggling with disease, death, and economic difficulties. One case in point who have gone through a lot of difficulties is David. David was born as the eighth youngest son in an ordinary family and was not recognized or acknowledged by his parents or his older brothers. And as David confessed in Psalms chapter 27, verse 10, he was abandoned by his parents. And his brother even said to him that he is arrogant and stubborn. So imagine how painful David's life must have been since young. Even if you face difficulties outside, you can endure all the hardships when you find comfort, encouragement, and rest at home. But David did not receive such warmth or warm love and recognition of his family. However, God saw David's heart and said to Samuel, "I have seen a king among the sons of Jesse." According to God's words, King Samuel went to Jesse's house and anointed David by pouring oil on his head. Then, did David lead a successful life right after that? Did his parents and older siblings accept him right on from that moment? After David was chosen as king and his head was anointed with oil being poured on his head, he suffered even greater difficulties. Because of King Saul's jealousy, he had to face a lot of situations that almost led him to die. He was almost killed by the spears thrown by King Saul, and he was almost killed by a group of assassins sent home by Saul. So David had no choice but to leave King Saul and take refuge in the wilderness. But Saul continuously pursued David And at every chance where David's location was known, Saul tried to kill him. So David had nowhere to rest his head. So David had no choice but to go farther away from the areas ruled by King Saul. David took refuge at a place called Ziklag, where he was away, and while he was away at war with 600 men who followed him, all of their wives and children were captured by the Amalekites, and the whole city was burned down, and all their property were confiscated. No one comforted David in the midst of such heavy difficulties. Rather, David's people, who had lost everything, were very grieved and actually tried to stone David to death. So wouldn't it be right to say that these are the true obstacles that David faced in his life? And what about Joseph? He was almost killed by his brothers and was also sold as a slave and served as a slave, and he was even falsely accused and sent to prison. Wouldn't it be right to say that this is also a true obstacle in Joseph's life? When we face such obstacles, how can such obstacles be overcome? Let us look at verse 165 of today's message to look at how. Verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Upon hearing this, you may think, so what difficulties did this woman in the Old Testament and David and Joseph have encountered in their lives? I think and I do believe that I love the law of the Lord, but why are there so many obstacles in my life? And I think I'm doing well in terms of my faith and living the life as God's children, but why are there so many obstacles in my life? Meanwhile, we all know the inevitability of suffering through the teachings of Jesus. And these are the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verse 17. Everyone will hate you because of me. Those who believe and follow Jesus Christ are hated by the people of this world. A lot of Christians hear the saying such as a Christian, you must follow the path of the Lord, the path of the cross, and the path of the suffering. This means that those who follow the path of the Lord experience difficulties in life because they do not walk on a smooth path of life. Then, what does the poet's testimony saying, nothing can make them stumble, mean? First, let us think about what an obstacle is. Obstacle, the word obstacle is a translation of the Hebrew word biksur, which is derived from the word kashal. Kashal means to stumble or to fall. Also, kashal means to perish or to decline. So when used as an active verb with a person, it is translated as the one who destroys or the evil. So in this sense, the obstacle or miksur means something that causes a fall or something that destroys. Among the word of God described in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14, this word miksur is also mentioned. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. The stumbling block mentioned in this verse are the literal obstacles that you can see with your eyes. However, there are also obstacles or stumbling blocks that are not visible to the eye. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 31 mentions the words of Abigail, Nabal's wife, to David when he was living out in the wilderness. The phrase, "my Lord," in the following verse refers to David. My Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. The servant here refers to Abigail herself. Nabal had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. It is very difficult to get a sense of how wealthy he was when he owned such a large herd of sheep and goats, but the Bible testifies that Nabal was very rich. Now, David stationed his men in Nabal's pastoral area and naturally protected Nabal's sheep, goats, as well as shepherds. One day, it was the shearing day of Nabal's sheep. A shearing day is almost considered to be a feast, so David sent 10 boys on an errand to get some food from the feast. However, Nabal rejected David. Not just rejected, but severely insulted him. And at this time, David could not hold back his anger and went ahead with 400 men to kill all the men that belonged to Nabal. Knowing this, Nabal's wife Abigail met David, who was on the way to her house, and said the foregoing words. And the words, "my Lord will not have on his conscience," refers to Bikzur that David has experienced, which is translated as a stumble upon in today's verse. When Abigail said, "my Lord will not have on his conscience," it meant guilt. If David could not hold back his anger and slaughter the men of Nabal, he would have stumbled upon an obstacle in life. God prevented David from stumbling over such obstacles via Abigail's words. If David had actually killed Nabal's men, despite hearing Abigail's words, he would have been gripped with guilt for the rest of his life and would not have been able to enjoy the great peace of God. We often see people who have lost their peace of mind because of a past mistake or a crime that they have committed. The fact that David, who have so loved the Lord's law, did not stumble over the obstacles is a good example of there will be no obstacles. In this way, we do not fall into the temptation of nothing can make one stumble. And in this sense, obstacles are created by ourselves and not by others. You may ask, who has ever put obstacles in front of one's own lives by their own selves? Let us look at Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 2 to 3. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all?" If you look at the words, "Should I let them inquire of me at all?" it literally reads that God will not accept the prayers of them. What this means is that when the elders of Israel came to the prophet Ezekiel and asked what God's will was, God will not give them the answer that they wanted. At the time, while Israel said that they were serving God, they were serving idols simultaneously. This is just like us chasing after the worldly values while claiming to believe in God. If you live a life like this and pray to know God's will whenever something happens, God will not answer you the way you want. And the reason why God doesn't respond is because they, or the men, put the stumbling blocks in front of themselves by their own selves. And the stumbling blocks here is mixur, or an obstacle. Putting forth an obstacle in front of you by yourselves and praying to God. What will God do against such men? It is in the verse of Ezekiel chapter 14, 7-8. When any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing in Israel separate themselves from me and set up idols in their hearts and put a wicked stumbling block before their faces and then go to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. I will set my face against them and make them an example and a byword. I will remove them from my people. Then you will know that I am the Lord. If you pray with the stumbling blocks of sins before you and pray, your relationship with God will be severed. If idols were an obstacle to sin for Israel in the past, the worldly values are the obstacles of sin for the churchgoers in this modern day. These obstacles are self-made obstacles. God spoke to Israel, who had placed the obstacles of sin in front of themselves on their own. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. God is calling us to turn around and repent. Repentance is to remove the obstacles of sins that you put in front of yourselves but on your own. The relationship with God is only restored when the obstacles of sins are removed. From the point of view of the world, Joseph's imprisonment would be referred to as a stumbling block in life. But from the point of view of faith, one can say that Joseph did not fall over the stumbling blocks of sin by going to prison. Joseph's life is a testament to the words, "Nothing can make them stumble." Joseph was a man who loved God, and Joseph overcoming his temptations and going to prison actually brought him great peace at the end of the day. Avoiding the obstacles of sin is the secret to enjoying peace at the end. Even if you face disadvantages, the more you keep to the word and live by it, the greater your peace will be. And this is the great peace that the poet in today's verse speaks of. The main theme of our church for this year is a word of God, which says, "In me you may have peace." And the peace in this verse is not so different from the great peace that is mentioned in today's message. Those who are in the Lord, who have overcome the world with many stumbling blocks of sin, do not put the stumbling blocks of sin before themselves and enjoy great peace by doing so. Another reason why we shouldn't put the stumbling blocks of sin before us is that the obstacles of sin do not end with a single individual. Those who do not remove the stumbling blocks of sins in front of themselves will not only fall or stumble themselves, but will also put the same stumbling blocks of sins before others as well. Does the crime and immoral and unethical behaviors that occur in this world stop with just the perpetrator themselves? No, it spreads rampant like a wild virus. In the Old Testament, there was a time when the Levites, who were in charge of the temple duties, put an obstacle of sin before themselves. At the time, they also placed obstacles of sins in front of the Israelites, causing them to stumble as well. Let us look at the word of God in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 12. And here, the word "they" refers to the Levites. "But because they served them in the presence of their idols and made the people of Israel fall into sin, therefore I have sworn with uplifted hand that they must bear the consequences of their sin, declares the Sovereign Lord." Let us not forget that if we put the obstacles of sins in front of us, then that buck does not stop with us, but is passed on to put the same blocks in front of others within the community and have a negative ripple effect. There is also another entity, neither ourselves nor others, that actually puts obstacles in one's path. Who do you think it is? It is God. God himself will become a stumbling block, or he will himself place stumbling blocks in front of us. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 13 to 15. "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble, they will fall and be broken, and they will be snared and captured." It is said that God himself is a stumbling block, a rock, a trap, and a snare, and that this will cause people to stumble, fall, and be broken, and be captured. And God also puts obstacles in front of us, for which Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 20 to 21 tells us why. "What do I care about incense from Sheba, or sweet calamus from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will put obstacles before this people. Parents and children alike will stumble over them. Neighbors and friends will perish." This means that God will put obstacles to those who raise their offerings with expensive things, yet do not obey the word of God and are pretentious. God will put obstacles in front of us when we fail to worship properly. Let us not forget that this verse and message applies not only to Sunday worship, but also to the worship we give in our daily lives. If God himself becomes an actual obstacle, or if he puts an obstacle before us, who will be able to overcome the obstacle? When God becomes an obstacle or places an obstacle in our lives, then this is a sign that he is blocking us from going towards that path. And Romans chapter 9, verse 33 testifies to this. "As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." If you realize and acknowledge that the obstacles you encounter in your life are given by God himself, and believe in the word and live according to those words, God will kindly remove such obstacles, and you will not be put to shame. And like this, God's grace is limitless and unending. The promise of God's grace is also mentioned in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 14. "And it will be said, build up, prepare the road. remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. The word remove the obstacles means that God Himself will remove such obstacles. There are people who struggle to overcome the obstacles, even if God has so kindly put them before us. And if you cross that obstacle, you will enter the path of destruction. If you encounter an obstacle that God has placed before you, turn around immediately. To turn around means to take faith, in and obey the Word of God. It is to love the Word of God. And if you love the Word of God, God Himself will remove the stumbling blocks that He has placed in front of us. Let us refer back to the question asked earlier. What does "there will be no obstacles" mean? The poet's testimony that nothing can make them stumble means that even if there are obstacles of sins that you have put in front of yourselves in the past, if you continue to love God's Word, you will remove such obstacles of sins yourself. And removing the obstacles of sins on your own means to repent. The poet's testimony, which says, "nothing can make them stumble," means that even if God Himself became an obstacle or placed an obstacle in front of you, if you love God's words, God will remove such obstacles. And the stumbling blocks that the poet testifies to does not mean the difficulties that you go through when you believe and practice the Word of God. Even if you make a mistake to confuse such difficulties as a stumbling block, you can overcome them only in the Lord who has overcome the world. For those who walk the path of the Lord, the path of the cross, and the path of suffering, even if there are many difficulties placed before them, they will never be obstacles or stumbling blocks. Therefore, for those who love the Word of God, regardless of the past, nothing can become an obstacle or a stumbling block, and they will enjoy great peace at the end of the day. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me the grace to love your word so that there are no obstacles in life and that we can enjoy great peace. I do not want to follow the ways of the world and set up obstacles of this sin on my own and not fall into them. I do not want to meet God's obstacles on the road of life. And to this end, please let me always keep near and love the Word of God. And even if we do encounter God's obstacles, please let us not fall into the foolishness of thinking that we can overcome them on our own, but turn away from them and let us repent. Please help us to remember that the difficulties that we experience when we believe in and act on God's words are not obstacles because we love God's words. And even if we encounter difficulties while following the path of the Lord, please let us not forget that only your love will allow us to overcome those obstacles. We all pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.